Let's take our Bibles, Matthew chapter 14. If you're able to stand, Matthew chapter number 14. Let's stand together. Matthew chapter 14 this evening. And this is a passage of Scripture, Matthew 14, that I'll be honest, I've probably preached 4 to 5 different messages from that same passage of Scripture. What I love about the Word of God is not a one and done. It's not like you can read a verse and there's only one thing you can say about the verse. Now, there is usually one truth that is being tried to be conveyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's really a seed thought that is often trying to be conveyed. But there is without a doubt the reality. The Bible is impregnated with trying to teach us who God is and how to understand God and how to walk with God. And so that said, as I think, I looked at my notes, I preached from Matthew chapter 14 3 years ago when I was here. But since then, the Lord has re-given some other thoughts, and just recently I penned down some thoughts on this passage, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you as we look at really a familiar passage, a passage that I think each one of us here in this room would say, oh yes, I know what this passage is about. This passage is about that guy named Peter, and this guy named Peter getting on a boat, and this guy named Peter stepping out of the boat. And you know, I heard a message on, you know, getting out of our comfort zone. I've heard a message about, you know, trusting God. I've heard all types of messages. But really, I want to preach that a message from Matthew chapter 14 on this thought, the process of growth. Let's look at Matthew 14, and let's read just a few verses to trigger our mind on some things here. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 22 says this, and straightway, Jesus constrained. Now, I got to stop right here and mention this word because it's important. Jesus here is very deliberate in what he's doing. Jesus is not just saying, okay, now I'm off to something else. He says, no, I constrain my disciples for something. The Bible then goes on to say, he constrains his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him on the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came, watch this word, and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Can I preach on this thought tonight? The process of growth. Let's pray tonight. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that it is true. Thank you that it permeates every part of our life. Thank you that it is applicable, just as applicable as it was 2,000 years ago when this passage was penned down. It applies just as much today. It is relevant. It is indeed alive. And I thank you that the Word of God helps us. And I pray that tonight the Word of God would help us, not what we shall be, not where we were, but where we are tonight, I pray. Thank you for the truth of the Bible, and I pray you'd help us in it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'd like to preach a message I've entitled tonight, The Process of Growth. Have you ever seen something that looks pretty fancy at first, and then when you actually get involved with it, it's a lot more difficult, and there's a lot more involved to it than at first meets the eye? Several years ago, my wife and I decided, hey, let's take up bike riding. We would be driving in our truck and we would look out our window and we'd pass up this man, this girl, we'd pass up this tandem bicycle. Sometimes we'd even see the mom and the dad and the little kid strapped onto the back somehow and kind of towing along, and they would all be just riding those bikes, and it looks like, hey, great family fun. So we said, Lord, we'd like to have some bikes. I had a dilapidated bike that I owned. It really was dilapidated and lousy and rusted, and it was not really conducive to long-range riding. But I got a little hanger thing, a bike rack that would on the back of my fifth wheel, and I mounted that bike on the back, and I'm thinking, Lord, we just need one more bike, and we can go in this great big fun called bike riding together. So I began to pray for it. And I found this principle in my life. When you want something, give something away. I just found that in my life. The Bible teaches that. So one day I was in Pennsylvania, and I saw this teenager, and he was commenting, I don't have a bike. And so I said, hey, you want my bike? He said, are you serious? I said, yeah. I unstrapped it. I gave this teenager a bike, and off I went. The next church I was at, the pastor looked at the bike rack one day. We were walking by. He said, Brother Chris, what are those two black things hanging off the back of your fifth wheel? I said, oh, it's a bike rack. I used to have a bike, and we're going to probably get some bikes here soon. The next day, the pastor took me to Walmart and bought me and my wife bikes. We had bikes, and we were like, yay, we got bikes. And so we put our bikes up there, strapped them on. We got our, I don't know if we got helmets. I ain't wearing no helmet. I mean, that looks good. But anyways, maybe you should encourage your kids to do that. And I had, we didn't get shoulder pads. What is this part right here? Elbow. We didn't have elbow pads or anything. We got seats. We were just ready for our bike rides. That was 5 years ago. I'm almost exact. 4 years ago, maybe at the most. Maybe let's just say 4 years ago. We have ridden those bikes maybe five times. Maybe. Yeah, here's the reason why. You get on the bike and you're like, yeah, let's get on. And you start pedaling. And you're thinking, this is burning. This is not supposed to be happening. I kind of trying to replay in my mind as I'm watching people zoom by, or I'm zooming by these people. I'm like, wasn't there a smile on that guy's face, and wasn't there a flutter in their hearts? I mean, I had to see some expression of joy in these people. They looked like a great big happy family. And what I found was, while it looked nice and fancy and fun, really once you got into it, at times it was a lot more painful than you were expecting. So much so that it's only been five times, unfortunately. Please do not tell the pastor that we have not used. I'm convicted right now. We need to get those bikes out, Sarah. If you notice, there's no bikes on the back of my fifth. My point is this. Oftentimes, we view certain things in the Christian life with a, yeah, with a, that would be what? Oh, man, I want that. Lord, can I have that in my life? I mean, that seems like fun. I mean, when someone gets up on the stage and they give a testimony and just wants to say, you know what, I'm thankful that I have been growing this year. I'm thankful that, man, my faith has been stretched. I'm just so thankful that I'm learning God in new ways. Oh, I am just so thankful that, you know, I just feel like my Christian life has really moved forward. You're thinking, Lord, I like that. You know what you find out about this thing called growth? This thing called growth is something that looks really nice on the outside. Sometimes it's a lot more difficult than we realize. It's not so much difficult in how the growth actually occurs in the end, but it is often very difficult in the process that God brings us to where we finally can step forward in growth. We've heard of many times something called growth pains. We're talking to a young boy, 14 years old or 12 years old, 11 years old, and man, my joints are achy. And the truth of the matter is, one of the things that God craves in our life, and one of the things I mentioned last night in growing in the Lord Jesus Christ is this, that God does indeed, and the great privilege is that we can grow in our Christian life. But I want to help us with something, and I believe tonight's goal is to change our perspective so that we can say with Paul, God, I want the difficulties in my life, that Christ may be glorified. Let's look tonight at the process of growth tonight. Matthew chapter 14, let's see what's going on in this passage. Let me give you some details. Many of you are already familiar with this passage, but please give me the time to share some things that are going on. Jesus is with his disciples for 3 years. For 3 years, Jesus is teaching his disciples about how to walk with him. He's teaching about the church that is to come. He's teaching about heaven. He's teaching about hell. He's teaching about himself. He's teaching all of these things about how to live the Christian life. Obviously, the very first thing that he wants them to know is how to be born again. And over and over and over, you see them when they pen the scriptures later in life, they wrote down how a person can know Jesus Christ as a Savior, how they can know they're on their way to heaven, how they can avoid that place called hell. You can know how to be saved. But after they were saved, Jesus wanted them to grow in their Christian walks. What's amazing is this. There's a verse in the Bible in Romans chapter number 1 that says this, from faith to faith. In other words, what God is trying to tell us is there is a faith in Jesus Christ that is the beginning faith. That is, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. He was buried and rose again. And I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and now I know I'm on my way to heaven. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. He saves me from hell, and I'm on my way to heaven. That is my faith. But the goal of the Bible and the book of Romans is this. God wants us to grow from faith to more faith. God wants us to expand our faith to different areas of our life, meaning this. When I got saved, my faith was in Jesus Christ for the salvation of my soul. It was in Jesus Christ so that my sins could be forgiven. It was in Jesus Christ so that I would not go to hell, but I would go to heaven. But watch this. It wasn't necessarily, my faith wasn't in Jesus Christ in my finances. My faith wasn't necessarily in Jesus Christ in my relationships. My faith wasn't necessarily in Jesus Christ in my marriage. Watch this. God wants us to grow from faith to faith. And here's what God was doing. As he's taking his disciples along life's journey for these 3 years, the Lord Jesus Christ has as a great goal of his life to teach people how to put continually their faith in Jesus Christ. I mentioned last night that walking with Jesus Christ in the end is actually a very simple step. It's this, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, looking into Jesus. But watch this. Oftentimes, God has to bring things in our life to teach us how to look unto Jesus and why we need to. So we come to Matthew chapter 14. Here's what's going on. You're right in the middle of these people's lives. You get a chance to open up and study and watch as Jesus dealt with man. Jesus said, hey, don't do this. Hey, do this. Hey, watch me do this. Hey, let's go over here. Watch how the people come and watch how I react. We are really opening up the Bible and we are watching the interaction between God and man. And watch this. Can I help you with something? God is interacting with you. God interacts with me. God interacts with my wife. Why? Because we are his children. And if you have trusted Jesus Christ, God personally wants to interact with your life to teach you how to place your faith more and more in Jesus Christ. And that's right where we're at when we come to Matthew chapter 14. The disciples go off, and there is the miracle at the beginning of the chapter where Jesus feeds the 5,000 besides women or children. He demonstrates that I'm God. He demonstrates that you can trust me. He demonstrates how powerful he is. And then it happens. How does God grow us? Here's what he does. Number one, God gives us customized problems. If you're taking notes, I really want you to write these things down because I am finding that when I take these three truths that I'm going to give you tonight, I am finding that in my life, whenever something happens in my life, I am finding that I can take these three things and all of a sudden a new set of glasses comes on over my eyes. I saw it one way before, and now I can take the Word of God and see it a whole different way. Point number one, here's what God does in their life, and here's what God is doing in our life. Number one, God sends customized problems. Watch what the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 14. If I don't throw my mic across the stage here, all right? So let's pause that. Brother Steve is probably going to edit that. All right, that's number two there. And we need to invest in something that can strap these things on for the walking preacher. Okay, for the standing preacher, these are okay. But for the walking preacher, okay, this is quite embarrassing. Everybody's staring at my thinning hair. Okay, all right, here we go. Matthew chapter 14, look down at verse number 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Now watch this. Jesus is with all the disciples, right? There's Matthew, there's Luke, there's this guy Thomas, there's this guy Judas, and there's also this guy named Peter. Well, the Bible says that Jesus in this passage, Jesus says, all right, disciples, I want all of you to get into a boat. And when he says the word constrained, this is because God is being very deliberate in what he's doing. And the customized problems that God brings to our life, we often view life as, well, randomly I got a flat tire, or randomly my engine got, and randomly, no, you got to understand, there is a God in heaven who is supreme, and there's a God in heaven who has as his goal to draw you closer to himself. So there's a God in heaven who is constantly customizing and bringing and allowing and using situations to bring things into our lives personally. Watch what happens here. The Bible says, he says, I want you guys to go and to get into ship. Look at the Bible says in verse number 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. You know what's amazing about the disciples? There was one guy that was a tax collector, one guy that did all, I mean, there's all these guys did all the different things, but there was a couple guys that their life was fishing. In fact, you find later in the Bible, when Peter's discouraged, Peter says, I go a-fishing. And several of them says, we're going with you. You know why? That was their life. It wasn't the other guy's life. It wasn't the other people's life. It was a large section of a large amount of people in this disciples group where people were used to fishing. Watch this. It's interesting to me that he deliberately says, I want you to get on a boat. I want you to get on a boat that you are very familiar with. A boat that you don't really need me for, do you? A boat that you have handled thousands of times. A boat that you have experienced water before. You've experienced wind before. You've experienced times where you're kind of panicking a little bit. But each and every time you've ever experienced it before, you were able to pull yourself out of it. You know why? Because you're fishermen. Because that's what you do. You are very comfortable. You know what's interesting? God takes this difficulty, this problem, and it's very deliberately customized for the people. But beyond just the disciples, who a large majority were involved in fishing, there was one guy that Jesus very strongly makes a big deal of all throughout the New Testament. When you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see certain characters popping up time and time again. I know Bartholomew was a disciple. I know that. Maybe you did it. Bartholomew was a disciple. You know what's interesting? You don't see a whole lot written about his life. But there was a lot written about this guy named Peter. He was a man that Jesus had drawn very close to himself. There was Peter, James, and John, and they were very close to him. And you find here's what happens. The Bible says in verse number 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with, for the waves were contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Now look what the Bible says in verse number 28. And Peter, the Bible then says in verse number 30, but when he, who was that? Peter. Then the Bible says in verse number 30, he cried. Then in verse number 31, he caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. You know what's interesting to me? It seems in this passage that Jesus' main target is a guy named Peter. You find a little bit later when he says, have you caught anything, children? And there's Peter answering. You find there Peter was the one that he said as he sat on the seashore and said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? You find that Jesus is customizing and aiming and organizing and allowing things for the sake of Peter's faith. Now, Brother Chris, well, didn't he do it for Matthew? Well, of course he did, but it's not recorded for us. Well, I mean, well, didn't he do it for Bartholomew? Well, of course he did. But he didn't record each and every person. But my point is this. Here's the process of growth. Growth only comes through problems. I want you to hear that statement again. You will not grow in Christ unless problems come your way. You say, well, I'm going to grow in Christ just by studying the Word of God. Well, that's not true because the same nature of man will think, oh, yeah, I trust God in that area. Oh, yeah, I'm doing good in that. Oh, yeah, I mean, I got this thing called, you know, trusting God for finances down. So what does God do? God brings customized problems. God brings difficulties that were meant only for you and only for me. You know what's amazing? This actually should be a very assuring point. Why? Because God knows me. God knows my down-sitting and my uprising. God knows my weaknesses and my failures. God knows my strengths. God knows the things of my heart and the things of my life. And God says, I'm going to allow things to happen. And this blows my mind. God doesn't revolve the world around Chris. God doesn't revolve the world around Sarah. God is so sovereign that he takes all the events that are constantly firing all the time, and he's able to take them all and to customize them to him and to customize them to her and to customize this guy and to customize them to him. God is amazing at customization. I actually like customization. I think it's one of the coolest things is when you can customize something. Just recently, my wife and I, there's a girl there that my wife knows that was kind of discouraged. And two nights ago, she was discouraged about some things, and she said, you know, I just really feel like I just need to maybe make a bracelet for me for, it says 2 Corinthians 10:5 about casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself, and all that verse right there. So we said, you know what would be really special for her? Let's make her a custom bracelet. We got online and we went to, I don't know, custombracelets.com or whatever it was, and we found that you could get these little rubber bracelets, and you could type however you want. You could choose blue, you could choose orange, you could choose green, and this girl we knew liked hot pink, and then we were scrolling down, and boom, there's a glowing. Well, this is the type of girl that she's like little cool, odd thing. She kind of likes that, like she carries a pet fish in her car. I'm not exaggerating about that, but she kind of liked those type of things, and she would like a glowing bracelet. So we got this glowing bracelet. It's pink, and it's glowing. And then we got 2 Corinthians 10:5. We put it all there. Now we're like scrolling through fonts. I mean, is it going to be like really scripty-like? Is it going to be very stoic-like? And all of a sudden we saw the Batman font. And he's needed right now. Okay, so but the Batman font, that was terrible. That was really, my wife is cracking up. All right, so the Batman font. Now, this girl, actually, she loves Batman. She doesn't like collect figurines, but you see her, she'll have a Batman t-shirt on. So we took and we got the Batman font, and we put it just like that, 2 Corinthians. And then on the underside, we were going to do this thing where we love you, and she has a little nickname that we call her by, and we say, we love you this, and we ordered this big fancy bracelet, spent a lot of money, $4.79, and it just got shipped out, just so you know, in case you're wondering. It just got shipped out today. We customized it. You know, in order to customize it, it's that we know her. We understand her likes and her dislikes. We understand her problems and her good days and her bad days. And we don't know her perfectly, but we do understand her. And so we take this bracelet and we target everything about the bracelet for her. Do you know how God grows us? God targets our life. And I am amazed how the difficulty of one person's life that would never bother me in the slightest bothers them. And I'm also amazed at the things that wouldn't bother anybody else. But man, it agitates me. Man, it rustles up who I am. You see, God is very good. A person that says, you know what, I don't have problems with finances, it's just not my thing, but God knows the inside. And God knows exactly that in this area, there's a lack, in this area, there's a mistrust, in this area, there's not the faith that he wants. And so he knows that just the right thing to bring into your life, just maybe for you, say, it's not finances that are going to be for me, that is not the thing. But maybe you say, I can't believe people struggle with finance. I can't believe people struggle trusting God. Man, I have got that down. Well, maybe you got that down. But they don't. So God brings something for you. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to get discouraged? Have you noticed that things can be like, literally, just as amazing. Last week, this is not a lie, last week, it was probably on Thursday, and I said to my wife, I said, man, things are just going so good. I just am doing, I'm looking at this part of my life, this part of my ministry, this a part of what's going on. I'm looking at our marriage, looking at our children. I'm just like, man, things are going good. I lie not. It was the next day. Some things happened through a text message. And before you know it, discouragement. I looked at that situation. What is this thing?
It's a customized problem. It's the God of heaven that is bringing something deliberately for us to learn to grow in Him. And you know what? When we look at our problems that are going on, can I say it like this? Let me back up before I say the next statement. If we were to have each person one by one stand up here and say, what's going on in your life? Each person here, you might be even feel bad about it. Some of us would be like, I don't even want to say it because it's not bothering. It wouldn't bother anybody else, but it's just really hard. Maybe it's a health thing, and maybe it's a relational thing, or maybe it's just something stupid like the ceiling tiles is just sagging, and you look at it and you're thinking, why is that ceiling tile sagging? And it's just the straw that breaks the camel's back. I've had those moments where you go to explain. I've had moments where I call my pastor and I'll say, this is going on. And as it's coming out of my mouth, I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. This is not... I sound like a three-year-old kid that I stubbed my toe. And but why is it that so many little things? Why? Because it's my life that God says, I know you. And if we all stood up, every one of us have different situations. It could be a ministerial thing. It could be a service to the Lord. It could be a fear about the future. It could be a financial thing. It could be a health thing. It could be something in marriage. It could be a simple comment that's being said. It could be just a certain disposition at work. It could just be this life in general. There's 1,000 different things. So here's my simple question for you tonight. What's your customized problem tonight? Because we all have. We all have problems that watch God gives to us, but we're to take and to look at them way differently. God is giving them to us because He wants us to grow in Him. You see, the point of life is Jesus Christ. And the point of life is for my heart and my attention and my focus and my devotion and my love and my faith to be on Him. And so God brings things in my life to do number two tonight. First of all, let me ask you this question. What's your customized problem? Second thing I want to show you tonight is this. God brings a clear purging. God brings a clear purging. First thing God does is He always does it. By the way, I wanted to mention this a little bit earlier. You think of a man named Jacob, and Jacob had his problems. So what did God do? Well, Jacob's problem was he was a wrestler and he was a manipulator and he could trip up anybody. So what happened? All of a sudden now Jacob was customized with wrestling with God Himself. You look at this man named Moses who had his customized problems. He was going to be leading the nation of Israel. So God brought all these difficulties and threw him on the backside of the desert, and there he is with hundreds and hundreds of sheep. Why did God happen? Why was it sheep that was going to teach him the lesson of life? You know why? Because God always customizes it for us. But number two, I want you to see this. There is always a clear purging. Watch what happens in the story. The Bible says in verse number 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. That means all of them, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Okay, so what he's saying is as a whole, Jesus is there. He's walking on the water. It's blackout. It's like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. There are waves so big the boat could capsize. The wind is overwhelming to them. No fisherman can compete with this now. No fisherman has just the right things to do now. They're in trouble. They're overwhelmed. And all of a sudden, just to make matters worse, they look off in the middle of the ocean and it looks like a demon or a ghost or some being is walking towards them. As a side note, I heard about Steve messing with the computer late at night one night from remote distances, and Brother Ethan and Aaron were downstairs, and all of a sudden Pastor Malachuk's voice begins to preach on a loud system. Brother Steve's not in here. That would scare the daylights out of anybody. Aaron was telling me about that. He's like, I ain't messing around. We went up to go whoop up something. I mean, it would scare the daylights out of you, some ooey-ooey-ooey thing kind of going on. And so here's what happens. These disciples are all on this boat. The boat, they could die. The boat, they could capsize. All of the familiarity, they're used to doing things like this. And now it's going up in smoke. And all of a sudden, there's this being walking towards them. The Bible says all of them cry out for fear. Is what happened. In case you were wondering, kids, exactly what happened, I'll do that for you again. But probably a lot louder and a lot more, you know, high-pitched like your dad does. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Here's what he does. The Bible says in verse number 26, here's what Jesus does. But straightway, Jesus spake to them, saying, hey, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now watch this. And Peter. Did God know that Peter was going to do this? Of course he did. Did God know that Peter would be like, hey guys, it's me, Jesus. I wasn't scared. God knew Peter. God knows what was in Peter's mind. God knows what's in Peter's heart. But you know what's amazing about Peter? Peter was a man who was a man that would launch out like, you know what, I ain't afraid. And a day and a half later, hours later, there he was denying the Lord. I won't deny him, Lord. I won't deny you, Lord. And then all of a sudden, he's backing down to this person, backing this person. He cusses out a little maid who says, I think you're with Jesus. But that was Peter. And yet, later in life, you find Peter on Pentecost. And Peter, the Bible says, being filled with the Holy Ghost was something that he was not for a long time. It wasn't a fake confidence. It wasn't a fake boldness. It wasn't a fake overcoming his fear. He really did overcome these fears and these insecurities and those things that were buried deep inside of his heart. But the only way that could ever happen, it wasn't just like one day he never grew. He didn't know anything about Jesus. He knew nothing about his strength, nothing about his power, nothing about how much God could do for him. And then one day, filled with the Holy Spirit and preaching. That's not how it happened. That is not the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit will come as we grow in Christ. And as he grew in understanding God and in understanding the thing that needed purged in his life. What do you mean? Number one, there is a customized problem. Number two, there is a clear purging. Watch what happens. The Bible says in verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. So that's exactly what happens. He says, Lord, if it's you, ask me to come out to you on the water. Ask me to come out. Did Peter think he was afraid? No. Would anybody else thought he was afraid? No. But listen very carefully. Underneath the surface, and I'm not necessarily telling you today that Peter knew that inside, oh yeah, I'm really afraid, but I'm just going to do this and show in front of everybody. No. A lot of times what happens is God brings out, listen to these words, the unknown of our life. You see, that's why growth only comes through problems. You say, well, I'm going to grow without the problems. We're too prideful to do that. We're too blind to our real character to do that. We think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, way too easily. So God has to bring things to reveal what is going on deep down inside. It's the idea of dross. And you understand the impurities that are in that gold, and it brings itself, it boils itself to the top. I had a person text me today say, I'm kind of confused. I thought that Job was not sent those trials because of some sin in his life. I thought it was just for, you know, just a trial to prove that how righteous he was. But at the end of the book, you find something amazing about Job. Job says, I repent. And I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. You know what's amazing? There were things in Job's life that were not able to be even recognized. It was something so subtle called self-righteousness that he couldn't even recognize it enough to make a sacrifice for it. But these problems, sure enough, in the end, brought out something about Job that he didn't know about himself. Watch what happens with Peter. The Bible says there's a clear purging. The Bible says, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, watch this, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And the Bible says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? There's a lot of things that came out in this moment. You see Peter that has to have doubt. You see Peter with little faith, and you see something very clear, and that is this. There was fear buried in Peter. And only a customized problem can bring out a clear purging. It was probably May 12th, maybe May 14th of this year, that I can probably say the top three, maybe even the top, but at least the top three worst day of my life occurred, and I mean that in the fullest sense. I don't mean it in a way to say, you know, it just was, man, bad things were just happening, you know, flat tire and this and that. I mean to say that I was reaching a crossroads and didn't even know it. I'll never forget that the events of that week just seemed like they piled on more and more and more. And all of them, to be honest with you, had to do with my calling, had to do with not the calling necessarily to preach, but the calling to run a Christian camp and all these things. And I was working on uploading, getting this to the person that's supposed to do the website, and getting this to this person. And it just seemed like to me that over that week, that anything that I would have said is confident and unshakable, that I'll never have a problem. It seemed like it was unraveling. Well, I've done this 1,000 times and it wouldn't work. I've been able to get my way and it wouldn't. And I'm just letting you know, boom, 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 boom. And I'll never forget that that week I got a phone call. I got a phone call about a situation, rather my wife did. There was one of those things that it was one of those, can I say, like, literally a punch in the gut. It was like being hit by a train. It was a phone call, I'll never forget, that my wife and I were in the truck. We were driving for about 2 hours from a meeting, and it was a constant conversation. Can you, I don't know what to do. And what are we supposed to do about this? It wasn't anger. It wasn't like, can you believe this? And kind of a, how dare they? It was brokenness. And I cannot believe in what's going to happen. I'll never forget that that happened. There's a couple of the situations, and finally it was probably a Thursday morning. I think it was after a Wednesday night church. I talked to my pastor about some things the night before. I was sitting on the couch, and I'm just going to be wide open and tell you what happened. My wife and I, we had a little bit of a fight. Now, we don't fight by throwing things like you guys, and we don't fight by, you know, threatening to shoot each other like you guys, but we have ways of letting each other know that we ain't too happy. It wasn't like necessarily an argument. It was one of those things that I'm letting you know. I was at the low point, was so discouraged. You know what God was doing? God was bringing a customized trial for me in this. God had put some things that would not have bothered anybody else, but man, they were shattering me. I mean, something else would happen. I thought that would never, and I can't believe this. And finally, you know what? I was getting this attitude of, I don't care. I don't care what happens. You know what? For all I care, it can go up in smoke. And I kind of, when I'm upset, I'll kind of get just a wee bit sarcastic. And I will, this and that. My wife, she was trying to encourage me. And I don't know if you guys are as sinful as me, but my wife was actually quoting verses to me. And I was saying things like, I know. I know. She's like, well, you know, David encouraged himself. Sarah, don't you think I know that? She's like, well, I don't know if that was the exact words that were exchanged. I'm just giving you the context. It was not a good situation. But it was all meant, watch this, to bring out a very clear purging. And I'll never forget, I stood up behind the couch. Sarah was walking out, and I began to talk to her, and I was saying, but Sarah, and I was pleading with her, but Sarah, this, and I tried this and that, and I tried this, and it wouldn't, and I put my hands in there, and it's backfiring, and I tried to help them, and what good did that do? And I'm trying to get this schedule together, and I listed a string of things having to do with camp and having to do with what's going on. I mean, I'm probably listing like 10 or 12 things that boom, 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 boom. And you know those moments when your wife is very spirit-filled, and if she wasn't spirit-filled, it'd be kind of disrespectful that moment, and all of a sudden she just, like, after it's all done, she's like waiting there, and all of a sudden she just shot back and she said, so you think God picked the wrong person? And I remember sitting there, and I remember sitting there because it hit like not a wife trying to tell you something, but the Lord bringing out something that was buried in my heart. I've told people 1,000 times that camp ministry there for me, at least, it's an administrative monster. And I'm not administratively gifted. I mean, I'll have ideas and I can kind of lead in a PR, but I'm not a paperwork guy. I'm not that. And yet this was what I was being asked of. And I found that in these situations, as God brought it and God brought it and God brought it and God brought it, that all of a sudden there was all types of other draws, but the clear thing came, boom, it came popping out of my life, that inside was a fight. and saying, God, you messed up. You should have got somebody else for this. You picked the wrong, and I found out in that moment that was what was decided there. You see, and God brings problems in our life to bring out the things that block the fellowship in our life. And they come out. You say, well, this is just so hard. I mean, all of a sudden, every time that happens, I mean, you just, duh, why does that happen? And it comes bursting out. You know what that is? That is God. Watch this. God doesn't bring things to cause sin. God brings things to reveal the sin that's already there. I've heard this said 1,000 times. I like the statement. People say, you know, sports build character. No, they really don't. Sports reveal the character that's already in there most of the time. You know what God's doing in your life right now? God is bringing out a lousy attitude. God's bringing out a complaining spirit. God's bringing out a sharp tongue. God's bringing out the impure thoughts. God's bringing out that bitterness you have. God's bringing out the insecurity you have. God's bringing out that fear. God's bringing out that guilt you have about the past. God brings things so that there is a clear purging in my life. God brings it all in so that all of a sudden, here's the main problem. Can I give you another example of it? Remember Jacob? He was wrestling with God. Remember I told you God brings a customized trial? What was Jacob's problem? Jacob was a wrestler, and Jacob always won the wrestling matches. He could manipulate over this situation, over that situation. He could contort, he could twist, and every single time, Jacob escaped. They call him the deceiver. And all of a sudden, God brought it to where he was cornered. And he said, Jacob, who are you? He didn't say his name. He said, who are you? 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 And finally, he said, boom, it came out. I am Jacob. And the word Jacob meant deceiver. What was all along in his heart, God used that to bring out. And so what happens is many times the frustration comes out and we think, oh, I failed. No. God is bringing those things out. So let me ask you this simple question. What customized problems has God been bringing your way? And number two, what clear purging is coming out? Now, why does God do this? Let me give you number three, and I'm done tonight. Let me give you number three. There's customized problems. There's clear purging. And number three, I'm done. There's confident power. There's confident power. Maybe a better way of even saying this, I've just done two words, this is confidence in His power. Watch what God does here. The Bible says in verse number 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Can I help you with something? There is sinking all the time in our life. All the time. There is moments where we go down. I think a victorious Christian life is not marked by the person that is sinking every now, that is a sink and pulled up and sink and pulled up, a sink and pulled up. A victorious Christian life is the sink and pulled up sink. A defeated Christian life is one that is drowning. And here's what we all have, the sinkings. We all have when all of a sudden the problem happens and oh no, and oh no, and oh no, and whatever it may be, God brings the customized problems. It produces the reaction. Many times the dross comes piling and pouring out of us, and all of a sudden the Bible says this. Verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Verse 30. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord. There was a moment when he was looking at the Lord, and then he took his eyes off the Lord. But then because of the situations, his eyes went back to the Lord. What was going on here? Jesus was trying to grow his little faith. The Bible says in verse number 31, and he says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. This is amazing to me. You got to really put yourself in the Bible. Jesus is standing there, and he's not standing a foot and a half away from Peter.
Forgive the kind of the bubble here. And by the way, if you get in people's bubbles, quit getting in people's bubbles. We all don't like it, but anyways. But this is like a bubble, all right? This is like a little bit too close for two people. He's feeling awkward right now, and I'm feeling awkward now. But watch this. Jesus and Peter weren't this close. I do not think that Peter would have began to sink when he's literally this far away from Jesus. He's like right there. He could tap him on the shoulder, and all of a sudden he's like, I'm almost there. He's like right there standing right. Oh, no, I don't think that was going to happen. He was some distance at least away. But the Bible says that the moment he cries out, the Bible says that immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. I believe with all of my heart that this was the all-powerful God, that the moment that Peter said, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. God, I'm in trouble. God, help me. I messed up. God, help me. That immediately the power of God was displayed, and boom, he was right there, and he picked up and pulled Peter out. Now watch what else happens. The Bible says in verse number 32, and when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let me draw all these things together. Here's how God grows us. And can I say this? Here is how right now, tonight, on this Tuesday night, that God is growing you. God is right now bringing customized problems. God is conforming. God is moving. God is changing. God is altering. God is allowing whatever all these thousands and billions of decisions around us in His sovereignty, He's bringing them all to bring a continuation of difficulties and problems in our life. God has to. He brings out the purging. So God is doing that tonight in our life. He brings out the purging. Why? So that I can see my sin? No. That's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is that my confidence is in His power. You see, that is what faith is. Faith is a confidence in the spoken Word of God, in the power of the Word of God, in who Jesus Christ is. And here's what He's doing. He's demonstrating right before this passage, look how powerful I am. There is nothing that I cannot do. Run to me. Call upon me. Look to me. I am the all-powerful God. And then right away, he sends Peter out on this customized problem. And Peter is the one that says, oh God, I'm not afraid. I'll go right to you. And immediately, the fear comes out of Peter, just like God knew was inside of there, and just like God knew needed to come out time and time and time and time again till we get every little aspect of that out of his life. And if it comes creeping in again, we gotta pull it out. But the goal was not so much just so that Peter can go, oh no, I had fear in my life again. No, the goal was for Peter to look to Christ. The goal was for Peter to turn his faith to Jesus Christ. The goal was for Peter to say time and time again, I had my faith in him, I took my eyes off of him, and I began to sink. But the moment I turned my faith back to him again, there came his power. There came his rescue. There came his strength. And I've learned, Peter could say, by the time he got to the day of Pentecost, and as he moved forward his ministry, he's learned time and time and time again, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, his friend Paul said. He said, I can do nothing without Jesus Christ. And when Jesus told us years and years ago, back when we were walking through that garden, that without me you can do nothing, he was right. He was right. And so watch this. When I get saved, I'm looking to Jesus for his power to save me from my sins. That's the area. That's how I get saved. You know what God does? God shows us that we are constantly weak in a multiplicity of areas. So God says, Chris, you were weak in this idea that I called you to this. You had that dross in your life. I'm going to reveal it in your life, not for you to go, yep, I knew I was a failure. No. I'm going to reveal it in your life so you say, God, I see that sin. And I'll never forget that with tears pouring down my eyes, down my face, not down my eyes, down my face. I'll never forget I said to Sarah in that same conversation, I said, Sarah, if God wants to take someone that's not very gifted in these things,
And if God wants to take someone that doesn't think he can do it and demonstrate his glory for some, through someone that really doesn't know what he's doing, all this stuff, I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to move forward by faith. You know what God does? God touches the finances to say and to show you that there's not quite full trust in God. You've put your faith in finances. God touches that health. God touches and allows for those situations to happen so that you and I might say, I see the sin. I see the impatience. I see the pride. There's that pride again. There's that defensiveness again. There's that arguing spirit again. There's that sarcastic tongue again. There's that pride and that inflating of my life again. There's that inconsistency again. There's that laziness again. And he pulls it out of our life, not so that we can simply go, oh, there it is, but that we see it and realize, I in myself am a lazy person, but I need Jesus Christ. I in myself am a prideful person, but I need you, Jesus Christ. And we grow by seeing the problems come out of our life, come into our life and bring out the sin out of my life so that I might run to Jesus Christ. And you see, that's why Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. What? I relish the problems that come my way. Why? Because it reveals how weak I am. But at the same time, and the glorious part, it reveals how strong he is. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So my challenge for you tonight is this. What problems are in your life? What dross is coming out of your life? Number three, tonight, turn to God in faith in that. Tonight, say, God, this problem has shown me. It shows my impatience, God. And I'm coming to you, God, to say, take that out of my life and help me to have your patience. It brings out my pride again. Help me to come to you. God, I'm coming to you to take that out. Help me to be humble. Again, it brought out my apathy. Again, it brought out my discouragement. Again, it brought out and fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. And let me challenge you tonight to do what Peter did when he began to sink. Lord, would you save me? Lord, would you help me? And Peter learned in a not so pleasant way the pleasure of growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Thanks.